Welcome back to the Hawks Talk Podcast, your source for everything about the Upper Valley Nighthawks and the NECBL. This is Season 3, Episode 12, North Florida Takeover. I'm your host, Phoebe Winters, joined by co-hosts Caitlin Beal and Greg Fennell. Caitlin, Greg, how are we doing?
After last night, I think we're doing pretty well, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely feeling tired this morning after that long bus ride.
But... I would imagine, yeah, but at least came home victorious.
Yeah, exactly.
We've also got two special guests in the studio. We've got Nick Moneal and Aaron Potter. Aaron, Nick, welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, feeling great after the big win yesterday. So can't wait to do it again.
Aaron, you're decked out in your Red Sox gear. Did you pick that up during your trip to Fenway?
I got the hat at Fenway, and I actually got this shirt at a thrift store in Lebanon.
Okay. Have you been a lifelong Red Sox fan?
Yes, I have.
Very interesting, considering you're from Jacksonville, Florida. You're a Jacksonville native. You're now heading into your senior year at the University of North Florida. What are you looking forward to most, and do you have any goals for your senior season?
Not any specific goals for me, but I'd like to see the team win just a bit more, and I think the guys we have coming back and the new guys coming in can help us do that.
And then... Nick, you're living in Tampa, Florida, and you're going into your junior year. You transferred in from Niagara University. Can you tell us what that transition from Niagara to University of North Florida was like?
Well, it was definitely a little bit different because Niagara's very cold, and I didn't really have to worry about the snow anymore. But, I really enjoy where I'm at right now. I really enjoy Niagara also. Just right now, I'm really happy on North Florida, and yeah, can't wait to see what the future holds for us.
What was that decision process like of choosing to transfer?
Oh, it was hard. Probably the hardest decision I made of my life. The head coach left, so it kind of just made me realize, like, if I wanted to come back to Florida, the time would be now. And so I decided to do that, and the coaches really liked me in North Florida, so felt like home as soon as I got on the phone with the recruiting coordinator.
Most people try to move from the north to the south, so I'm kind of curious about your initial recruitment from high school and how you ended up choosing to go to Buffalo, New York to play your college baseball.
Yeah, so I never was highly recruited out of high school. I remember actually I was going to be kind of done with baseball, yeah, out of high school, and my dad said, hey, send this email, because the email thing was a big source to use to get recruited, and he goes, hey, send this email to Niagara. I'm like, Dad, like, Niagara? Like, I don't even, where even is that? But he's from Buffalo, New York, so, and that's where I grew up, but I didn't even hear about the school. And he was like, send this to Niagara, see what they say. So I didn't hear about Niagara. I didn't hear from them about maybe a month or two, so I was like, oh, it's nothing. Then I get an email back saying, hey, can you be a redshirt walk-on? And I'm like, redshirt walk-on and up cold up north, like, Dad, I'm really not gonna do it. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna do it. And he was like, just maybe you should take this risk, take this chance. And so I was like, okay, fine, I'll take the chance. So that's how I got to Niagara. I took the chance, redshirted my freshman year, played pretty solid my sophomore year, or my freshman year, and then, yeah, had good enough numbers, and I hit the portal when my head coach left, so that's how I got there.
And Aaron, you also didn't start your career at University of North Florida. Can you tell us a little bit about that process, going from JUCO to North Florida?
Pretty much similar to Nick. I didn't have too much coming my way out of high school. I had Hillsborough Community College down in Tampa. They were interested in me, and that was really all I had. And then my travel ball team played like a round robin at our park, and a bunch of junior college coaches from Florida were at the game, and St. John's River saw me. A week later, I took a visit, loved the place, and ended up going there. So... It was a bit different, junior college coming into a four-year, but I've loved every minute of it.
What made you choose North Florida?
I get to come home, and new coaches. You know, I I thought it'd be cool to go somewhere where they're starting fresh and maybe build something.
North Florida is in Jacksonville, correct?
Yes, sir.
I got a chance to see them play a couple years ago when my wife and I were visiting some former guests of ours down at Eastern Kentucky. The baseball program is relatively new in Division I, is it not?
I believe 2005 was their first year in Division I.
Okay.
But, I mean, historically speaking, yes, that is pretty
compared to a lot of other programs in Florida. Yeah. And still playing Atlantic Sun, correct?
Yes, sir.
How'd the season go for both of you guys at North Florida?
I mean, Nick had probably a better season than me on paper, but I feel like I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, being first year in Division I, kind of seeing how things move a little differently other than junior college.
And in your case, what was the biggest transition, aside from meteorology, from going to Niagara to North Florida?
I would say the skill level in playing. Mm-hmm. I think that it definitely got a little bit harder. A lot of people knew with the scouting reports after my freshman year what to throw me and where to play me and stuff like that. So it definitely got a little bit more challenging.
Now, we've seen you in largely a leadoff hitting role with the Nighthawks in the early part of the season. How similar is what you've been doing at North Florida to what you've been doing for us?
Oh, it's very similar. I haven't changed my approach. I'm very competitive when I step into the box to start off the game. So I just don't take any pitches off. I'm just always kind of locked in on what I have in front of me. And if I get out, you know, you just keep moving on and you just take the next, you take your next at bat and no pressure. So
largely in a leadoff role for North Florida as well?
Yes.
Now, I'm kind of curious, both of you, going back to the beginning, do you remember what that first spark was where you're like, baseball could be the sport for me?
I mean, I've been playing since I was five, so I got that spark a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I got asked to play baseball for the first time from one of my football coaches. And, I just started playing and realized, you know, not many people are actually good at the game. You know, it's the hardest sport out there, and I seem to be, you know, a little bit better than some, so I might as well stick with it.
Okay. What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I've always just had – I have two younger brothers, so we've always just been playing in the yard. We've always been just around baseball my whole life, so I've always stuck with it.
That was actually my next question, because your brother Alex played at Florida State College at Jacksonville, also as an outfielder. Your younger brother Dylan also plays in high school. So what's it like coming from such a strong baseball family?
Oh, it's great. It's everything is competition. So, and you know, it's always good to have somebody to hit with or somebody to throw with. So yeah, it's always been just a lot of fun.
Being the older brother in college, do the younger ones constantly pepper you with questions about what it's like to be in Division I, what is it like to be recruited, those kind of things?
Yeah, all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I'm a good source for them to, you know, they could come to me with anything. So it's definitely been a good ride. So, yeah.
And you both mentioned you've been playing baseball pretty much your entire lives. It's always been in your life. Is there any player that you particularly look up to or try to emulate in your game?
I mean, there's a few pitchers around the league that I like. It kind of depends on what role I'm in, because in junior college, I played both roles, relief pitcher and starter. So kind of like out of the bullpen, I love watching Joe Kelly and all the pitchers that get fired up, like the old ones, like Mariano Rivera, just guys who bring a lot of emotion to the game. But then as a starter, I like to watch like Jacob DeGrom, who's, you know, very calm on the mound, but can still throw 102 right by you.
I've always kind of looked up to Brett Gardner for the New York Yankees. He's a little lefty, gritty player. Just kind of looked up to him and kind of want to be like him. So, yeah.
Now, Nick, what is your baseball team like?
I'm a Tampa Bay Rays fan.
Interesting.
I was going to ask, because Jacksonville is, as big cities go, kind of in the middle of nowhere. You're multiple hours from Atlanta, you're multiple hours from Tampa, you're multiple hours from Miami. So where do loyalties tend to lie for baseball fans in the Jacksonville area? Is Tampa Bay normal?
The Atlanta Braves, actually.
It is mostly Atlanta? Okay.
Yeah.
That would not surprise me.
There are a lot
but is that where you've leaned? Or it was all this Red Sox gear legitimate here?
Great. No, you see he's decked out. Right
I know,
now.
But he could be dressing for Halloween here. So, we never know.
So when my dad was growing up, there were three channels, and you could only watch three different teams, and it was the Orioles, Red Sox, and the Yankees. And he and his dad kind of just landed on the Red Sox because who wants to be a Yankees fan? And the Orioles weren't the greatest at the time. So, yeah, it's just always been the Red Sox.
God, it sounds like my upbringing. Yeah, we had three channels, and you had to watch the Orioles because the Senators weren't there anymore.
Yeah.
But you with the Rays? I can understand the Rays.
Yeah.
They've always been impressive to me with the way they take a limited budget and do something really good with it.
Yep. Yeah, they're really fun to watch because a lot of people count them out all the time, mm-hmm. and they always end up being at least in the top of the division or making a wild card. So they're a fun team to watch.
I just kind of wonder about their future, given the damage to the dome from the hurricane last year, playing at the Yankees spring training site and all the difficulty they're having coming up with a plan for a new stadium, if at all, if they're going to still be there, if Orlando is going to make a play for them, if they go someplace else.
I hope they keep it in Tampa. I've been to a few games mm-hmm. like this year, mm-hmm. and it's awesome. I mean, every game has a bunch of fans in it, so I hope they can build a stadium in Tampa and keep it in Tampa. Mm.
So, Aaron, Nick, we mentioned you guys are both from Florida. What brought you up to New England?
Our coach, Brad Wilkerson, he has a few contacts up here and kind of came to us. I signed my contract a couple weeks before Nick, and he basically just told me, he's like, you know, they got some good coaches up there. You'll play some good competition and, you know, get you ready for the fall. And then a couple weeks later, Nick told me he was joining.
Yeah, that's exactly how it kind of went. He called me one day and was just like, hey, I got a spot for you in the NECBL. I was like, let's do it. And he told me that, actually, I didn't even know Potter was, or Aaron was coming until I saw the roster and stuff like that. I was like, oh, this should be fun.
So then what's that transition like going from Florida to New England and then coming into this team with an already built-in teammate?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you're not the kid that doesn't know anybody. You know, you can always talk. You can always talk to him. We live with each other right now, and he drives me around. So
you're always together.
Exactly. Yes. It's great.
What was the transition like for you, Aaron?
It was pretty cool. You know, I got here a few days before Nick, so I kind of had to figure out, you know, who I was going to talk to.
You had to make friends, Nick.
Yeah, I had to socialize, so I kind of brought him into my circle.
Oh, of course, here. You made friends for him.
Yeah, but it was fun. I like new things, and I pretty much just explored for the first few days, just kind of got to know the area and the weather, how it gets mm-hmm. cold at night and doesn't just stay warm all day.
Yeah, speaking of, had you guys ever been to New England, specifically Vermont, before?
No.
I have not.
Never? Okay, first thoughts, first impressions?
I like it. It reminds me of home a little bit with all the trees and all the greenery. So it's not like I'm in some ghost town. There's a bunch of stuff to drive around and look at. And it's not, I haven't become bored yet.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. I really enjoy it here, so.
And Aaron, lifelong Red Sox fan, what was it like going to Fenway Park? Was that your first time?
Yes, it was my first Ooh. Game in Fenway. I've been to Fenway a couple times, like taking the tour when I was in Cooperstown when I was 12, but never seen a game in Fenway, only in the Trop in Tampa. It was amazing.
So who did you see and where did you sit?
In Tampa?
At Fenway.
We sat right next to the Rays dugout, mm-hmm. and we saw who started. I can't remember who started the game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I really didn't. We didn't see much of the game. We were just kind of taking in the whole experience mm-hmm. of Fenway. We were just looking around, and before we knew it, the lights were flickering, and it said Red Sox win. We were just looking around at the whole stadium. and it was fun.
I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I've been there probably, you know, 15, 20 times over the years, and all I do is just there watch people. Yeah. I probably don't pay a whole lot of attention.
It is good people watching.
Yeah, it is.
Did you guys try any of the food? Fenway Frank, some Hood ice cream?
I did get a hot dog.
Okay, good. Thoughts?
It was pretty good. I mean, kind of your run-of-the-mill ballpark food.
Come on. You know?
But it did taste a little better knowing it was in Fenway.
Exactly. Nick, thoughts?
No, we ate before. but we went to like the restaurants before, like right by the stadium. Mm-hmm. So
Cask and Flagon?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly where
I knew it. I knew exactly it right there. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good there. Yeah.
Well, you guys mentioned teammates at University of North Florida. You guys are living with each other this summer, so we'd like to play a little game with you.
Yes. This is a new segment we're adding to the podcast.
This is their idea, by the
way. Yeah, Greg isn't involved in this. This is all us. How well do you know your teammate? Okay, so we'll go back and forth with some of these questions, and you have to answer them, and we'll see if you guys are bonding much this summer. Okay.
All right. First question to Aaron, what is Nick's number with the Nighthawks?
9.
Good job. Okay, same question to you, Nick. What is Aaron's number?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. This was supposed to be the easiest question to start off.
I don't, any hints or no?
No.
It's double digit. How about that?
You've seen him pitch at least once.
I know. But I was sitting with Mateo, so I wasn't focused on the number.
We'll give you half a point if you can tell us his University of North Florida number.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Aaron, how do you feel about this?
It's all right. I'll
let it slide. This is a tough one.
Wow.
Next question.
Okay. The answer is 38 for the Upper Valley. Okay, Aaron, what is Nick's mom's name?
Miss Susan.
Ding, ding, ding. Good job.
So Aaron's 2 for 2, Nick.
Oh, gosh.
Does Aaron have any pets?
Yes, a cat.
Named?
This
can be a bonus point.
Okay,
if you
I was going to say.
Yeah.
He hasn't really told me the name, but I know it's a black cat with I don't know the name.
The answer is June. But we'll give you a point for okay. that. Okay. That was just a little a bonus question at least.
I'm getting smoked.
Okay. All right, Aaron, what is Nick's favorite music genre?
I'm probably going to go with country.
And correct. You'd be right.
Yep. Okay. Now, Nick, what is Aaron's college major?
Psychology.
That's right.
Correct. There you go. You're on a roll now.
You just needed a few practice ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron, do you have any fun psychology facts for us?
No, they're not really that fun. It's just kind of, I don't know, the way I look at it is you kind of see psychology everywhere, like how people react to stuff and all that. So a lot of it is kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what it's called. You know, it's not like discovering anything new. It's just like seeing how people behave and putting a name to it.
Does it help you with your pitching, do you think?
For the most part, of course, when you're studying it as a whole major, you don't just like learn little things that you'd like to know, sadly. But I do think it helps a lot with like understanding like how my emotions can sway in different ways and how quickly they can change.
It's awesome.
Very interesting.
All right.
Okay.
Nick, next. Close your eyes.
Yeah, Nick, close your eyes. Yeah. Okay, Aaron, what color are Nick's eyes?
Green.
Yeah, we'll give it to you. He technically said hazel, but same thing.
I said green first, though,
say
yesterday.
Green.
Oh,
true.
You said hazel first and then green.
Oh.
Whatever. Yeah, we'll give you the point.
All right. Nick, what is Aaron's middle name?
David.
That's all right.
Correct. Okay. Back on a roll. Okay. We kind of already asked this question, but what is Nick's school number, Aaron?
10.
Correct.
Now, Nick, do you know what Aaron's favorite fast food restaurant is?
Is it in...
It's something in Jacksonville.
It is?
Yeah. They don't have it here.
Chick-fil-A?
No.
Canes?
No.
They have both of those here, might I add.
Do they?
Yeah. I mean, well, not in Vermont specifically, but...
Mm-hmm. In New England, they got...
Yeah.
They got Chick-fil-A.
I mean, there's a Canes in Boston.
Is it Whataburger?
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go. We'll give you the point.
Yeah, we'll give you that.
I never associated Whataburger outside of Texas. I didn't realize it went that far east.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's huge in Jacksonville.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. Aaron, what is Nick's pregame ritual before stepping up?
I know he draws something in the clay.
Did you? No, do you not. Watch the TikTok? Because this was a question on the TikTok.
No, I didn't watch the TikTok.
I don't.
No.
Neither of you guys. Come on.
I know. Well, Nick told us on the TikTok that part of his ritual is he takes a big deep breath before stepping back into the box.
Oh.
Which if you watch him play, I notice it every time.
Yeah.
I'm like, exactly. Oh, he's ready.
Everything that the guy said, like, especially Kyle, he draws his dog's initials and stuff. Like, now you notice it a lot after hearing
or, like,
what they say.
Him staring into his helmet, I was like, oh, now I, like, pick up on it every time. And I'm, like, looking for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, Nick, what's Aaron's favorite color?
You would think red.
I was going to go red.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
It's blue. Wrong. It's blue.
Oh, wow. All Rays right. and Yankees colors.
Yeah.
Okay, last question for you, Aaron. When is Nick's birthday?
January 31st.
That's correct.
Correct. Okay, bonus point for the year.
2003. Or no, 2004.
2004. There you go.
All right, Nick.
Good job.
He knows that. He knows that.
Yeah. Did you guys celebrate together?
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was his 21st when we were at UNF, and it was announced for 2 weeks that it was coming up. So I remember the day.
Announced by whom?
Yeah.
The man himself.
What did you do for your birthday?
We went out to a nice restaurant. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, with a bunch of the guys. It was good. It was a good time.
It's good.
All right, Nick, last question we got for you. What is Aaron's coffee order?
Oh, gosh.
To his defense, I put in a mobile order.
Every time.
Oh. So he doesn't
I might just have to get the point and move on.
I think he uses them.
Where's your favorite coffee shop?
Dunkin'.
Same. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
We're going to have to show you the other ones around here.
What other ones?
Okay, well, first of all, Dunkin' was okay until Starbucks came along. And then that got to be a little bit too commercial for me. There's at least two good places around here to go. And one of them actually might be by you. You said you're staying in Lebanon.
Yeah.
Down on Colburn Park on the square is a place called Lucky's Coffee Garage. It used to be a gas station and repair shop.
Okay.
Somebody bought it, hollowed it out, and turn it into a fantastic coffee shop breakfast place. It's not the cheapest place in the world, but the coffee is excellent. They make great breakfast sandwiches. Try it out sometime. Bagels are also very good. There's also a place in downtown Hanover called Dirt Cowboy Cafe at the opposite end of Main Street from Starbucks. I believe they still serve coffee there. When the pandemic rolled around, they remodeled the business into roasting and grinding coffee, but I think they're back to hosting. So if coffee is your thing, give those two a try. A little bit different than your franchise stuff.
I might have to.
Have you ever been to Wee Bird Bagel Cafe, Greg?
I have not. Where is that?
It's in Randolph. I tried it the other day.
Oh, good Lord. Is that right downtown?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you'd consider it a downtown.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
But
if I'm ever going to Randolph, I'm going over to Montague to misplay golf. So I usually stop somewhere.
Oh my gosh, shout out. Phoebe now works there.
I do.
Yep. Really?
I'm the cart girl.
Are you? Okay. I may have to come over there and show off my horrible golf swing.
Yeah, and
it's been a while.
Get a little drink while you're at it.
Oh, yeah. That might even help.
I'll be driving the cart around.
Oh, awesome. I have to hold that thought. Thank you.
Yeah. Perfect. We have a very fun segment of Hunting for Answers next, where you guys send in your questions. So we asked on our Instagram story for fans to send us their burning questions about both of you. So the first question is from someone named Aaron Potter, and he asks, why is Aaron Potter perfect? So, Aaron, you have an answer for that?
Some things are just effortless, and they just happen by chance. So,
great answer.
Nick, do you have anything to add to that? Why is Aaron so
no
perfect?
No comment.
All right, well, this one, next one comes from your teammate, Anthony Greco. He wants to know, if you had to eat a crayon, which color would you choose?
That's a question for you.
Both of you can answer.
Greco literally told me that he put in a question too.
He didn't tell you what though.
No. Probably like orange.
Orange.
Why orange?
It just seems like it tastes good. I don't know.
Have you eaten a crayon before?
No.
Well, it might have
this
vitamin
would be your
C,
first.
So I mean, it's okay, probably good
for you.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron.
I'd probably go with green, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems more like a vegetable. I don't know. I wouldn't eat any crayons.
Okay. Greg, do you want to answer this question too?
I would have said burnt sienna because the sound of burnt is good. And who knows what sienna is aside from
is
college.
Is that even – did you just make
yes,
that
it,
up?
No, it's actually – it was one of the things in the 64 box of Crayola crayons when I was a kid. And for some reason, burnt sienna was the – one that got everybody's attention because it was really a weird sounding name. It in layman's terms, it's brown. You know, basically is what it is.
Did you have the fancy one with the sharpener on the back?
No. Did I? No, I don't think I did. Of course, I had no artistic tendencies either, so.
Baby, what color would you pick?
Purple. It's my favorite color.
I would do pink, also my favorite color. So, you know, mix it up. We all.
I knew there had to be pink in the room here somewhere. Okay.
What do you mean?
All right, last Hunting for Answers question. This comes from Timmy Mack. He wants to know, what's the nicest thing Coach Paws has said to you so far?
Welcome to the squad. He doesn't really talk much, and when we're playing well, it's a good thing that the coach doesn't have to say much. So
yeah, he's very supportive. So, like, I mean, obviously if you, like, make an error, get out, he just tells you to keep going, so.
I mean, I've always seen Matt as being a very low-key guy, mm-hmm. so to have you guys bring out the Taylor Swift fan in him has really been illuminating for me.
Yes, definitely.
That was actually Devin Drake who told us that he was a Taylor Swift fan. Mm. She sent in a Hunting for Answers question a month ago or so.
Yeah, and it was one of the first questions, actually. Yeah.
Wanted to know what his favorite song was. It's Cruel Summer, by the way, so maybe we can get that
yes,
going on the bus ride tonight.
Yeah, just on repeat.
All right, well, now that we've gotten to know you guys a little bit better, let's move on to talking about this past season. We're about 2 weeks in. You guys are coming off a huge win over Sanford last night. You're sitting at top of the Northern Division at 5-3. And then after a string of bad weather, you guys competed in your home opener, and this was after 4 days off. And in that game, it really seemed like the hitting just clicked for you guys. Didn't take till the later innings for the bats to get hot. Do you think that the days off contributed, or would it have just fallen into place regardless during that game?
I mean, as a pitcher, from what I saw, it seemed like everybody was kind of relaxed, you know, just happy to be playing after sitting in their house for 4 days because of the rain. And we also had some new guys come in those 4 days, and I feel like a fresh bat to line up kind of helped spark other guys.
Yeah, I think that it kind of helped us out a lot just because we got to know everybody, and new guys were coming in, and we like did things as a team just to, you know, like know the guys more. And I feel like once we built that, like a little culture thing, that we knew that like we were gonna be really good. So
Nick, you were one of those new guys joining for that home opener. That was your first game with the Nighthawks. They put you into the leadoff hitting position. What was that adjustment like for you coming in, new team, and you're getting the leadoff position?
Oh, it was great. It was just another opportunity, and I'm glad, like I said in that interview, that I contributed, and we got the win that night, so it was great.
How have you found the transition to wood bat, or have you had much experience with that lately?
It's definitely harder, the wood bat. It's definitely harder to use. You know, some when you get jammed or you hit it off the end, they don't go as far, so...
It's definitely interesting because for you, that's definitely a tough adjustment. But for Aaron, that kind of works to your advantage, right? Where everyone's kind of struggling to adjust to this new wooden bat. So how has that kind of affected your pitching?
Oh, I love it. I pitch inside a lot more now, and mm-hmm. I love breaking wood bats.
How many have you broken?
Two.
Okay.
I was going to ask you if you're keeping a mental accumulation of that. Now.
I've broke one each game so far.
Okay. Wow. Nick, have you broken any?
I have not.
Oh. No. It's kind of like a rite of passage, I guess, breaking a wooden bat.
Yeah, they have to set you a target, maybe. See how many you can bust.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've kind of just kind of gone with the one a game mm-hmm. idea, mm-hmm. but maybe I'll get more.
Do you notice it when it happens? Do you hear it?
Yes, you can hear it. Okay. It's like a very distinct sound. It doesn't sound like it. A bat at all. It just sounds like firewood.
Interesting.
And you see the reaction on the batter's face, and
yeah,
it does work.
They hate it. They hate it, and I love it.
We were thinking of starting a counter of how many broken bats we get this entire season. Mm. I wonder if everyone's keeping track, just like you.
You make a pretty impressive bonfire at the end of the year.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you do with the broken bat afterwards?
They've given it to kids.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I took three of them one summer and was thinking I would try to find a way to turn it into legs for a coffee table. Never got anywhere with it. But
do you still have them?
I have two of them, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
I turned one of them into actually I made a sort of like a shelf/plaque to hold things that players had left behind in our house. So I've got three bats, two of them signed, a whole bunch of baseballs, a game-used hat that's never going to touch the top of my head.
Yeah.
And then, you know, various and sundry other cards and photographs mm-hmm. and gifts from all the folks we've hosted.
Yeah. Well, again, the weather has been kind of terrible to start off the season. And because of that weather, you guys had 7 straight days of games slated starting last Wednesday in Montpelier. Aaron, you've made 2 outings so far. You haven't surrendered an earned run, and you've only allowed 2 hits. With your college ball season ending about a month ago, how did you make that adjustment and stay prepared to take the hill with this time off?
I'm lucky being from Jacksonville, a big city. I know a lot of people playing college baseball at a competitive level. So when I'm home, I can go to a field and have 5 or 6 guys that I can throw to, or a catcher at least to catch a bullpen. So I never really skipped a beat when school ended. I just kind of stayed on the same program and just rolled into the summer.
What was kind of the timeline? How much time did you have after season ended before coming here?
I think maybe 2-3 weeks, maybe only 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not too long.
And then you were a big part in that Nighthawks game against the Keene Swamp Bats. Came onto the bump in relief after the Nighthawks put up a 4 spot in the top of the 5th to secure the lead. What was your mentality heading out there?
Pretty much just go right at them. It's a lot easier pitching with a lead. But Keene has that funny field where if somebody hits a pop fly to center field, it's a home run. So I had to keep that in mind, that they could easily put runs on the board with, you know,
check swing,
below average swings. So I really just wanted to get ahead in counts, go right at guys, and for the most part, it played out pretty well.
And then, Nick, you've played a huge role both in the outfield at center field and from the plate. You're currently tied with Jack Spanier and Nick Mazzotta for the team lead in walks at 7. You also led the Ospreys with 53 walks this past season. Is this just your specialty, leadoff walks?
No, I don't. I obviously go up there to hit, but once I get ahead in the count, I let the pitcher, you know, come to me, basically. So I'm very patient, and I feel like that has had most of my success, because once I get to like 3-2 or 3-1, then I know that, you know, he's probably going to throw another ball in the next 2 or 3 pitches. So I just have to, you know, grind it down.
We've also seen you steal a lot of bags this season. Do you just time up the pitcher, or do you mostly rely on Matt Paws to give you the go-ahead?
No, it's been on me, basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's pretty loose with the green light, so.
Has he talked with you guys as a group about an approach to base running? I ask this because last year's team did not steal very often. In fact, last year's team didn't really take a whole lot of advantage of all of its available tools. Now we're seeing a team led by you that is doing a lot of stealing of bases. So did he talk to you as a group about what the team philosophy was going to be in those circumstances, when you go, when you decide not to go?
No, honestly, we're an aggressive team. We like to get our guys in scoring position, and we have scored a lot of runs recently. So yeah. We just continue with that aggressive mindset, and we're going to continue to do that. So, yeah.
And now tonight you're facing the Sanford Mainers again, the third day in a row. What's kind of that mentality when you've already faced this team twice? You're 1-1. You kind of know them because you've played them the last two games. Does that kind of help your mentality going in?
No, it really doesn't matter the team, honestly. We're going to go and compete and we're going to win. So that's kind of where we're all of our minds are at.
It's just another game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, that's going to conclude Season 3, Episode 13 of the Hawks Talk Podcast, North Florida Takeover. I want to give a huge thank you to Aaron Potter and Nick Moniel for joining us. And thank you to everyone for tuning into this episode. Caitlin, Greg, and I have a lot of excitement planned for the podcast this season. I want to thank Caitlin Beal and Greg Fennell for joining me on the podcast. I'm Phoebe Winters, and this has been the Hawks Talk Podcast.